You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
The DPEG Late Breakfast Show on Radio 1. And now, I'm joined by Charlotte and Gemma from the School of Arts.
Hey.
Hi.
To talk about an upcoming exhibition. Let's start with the base details. The name, the date, the time.
Right. So this is going to be held at the Needham School of Art on Riago Street. It's called Te Korero Reo, or In Conversation, but the name, we might change the name depending on,
sure,
you know, what we decide later on, you know. It's 5 till 6:30 on Thursday the 7th of August.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's in Hinaki Gallery O Block, and also in the main gallery space, because there are actually two exhibitions happening, first years and second years are,
cool,
exhibiting at the same time, which is very convenient, so you can see both of them.
Yeah.
And judge them against one.
Oh, yeah.
Are the first years better than the second years? Are they making them worse at the Needham School of Arts?
They're quite different, the two exhibitions.
Sure.
I've seen what the first years are working on, and it's very different to what we're doing.
Yeah, so the,
it's a lot of variety.
Yeah, the first year's work is more based on two different sets of work. So the Raft of Medusa and the Arrival of Māori, which are two paintings with similar
themes
to them.
Mm.
Yeah, and that's pretty cool.
And quite similar composition.
Yeah.
They're beautiful, both.
Yeah, and so they're doing responses to those.
Sure.
And it's always really cool and unique how you, like, see the, you know, other students express themselves and with just a one
prompt.
Yeah, that's quite cool. Yeah,
That's what I was going to lead into. So the content of the exhibition is art in what sense?
Oh, well, so our exhibition, Te Korero Reo, In Conversation, is based around, we've all individually found a piece of ephemera or a photograph or a painting that is held in our Hākinā Hokken collections. And so we've all visited the Hokken and chosen a piece of, I guess, yeah, historical,
yeah,
contextual anything.
Mm-hmm.
It could be anything. It literally could be like a bus
stamp. Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah,
a bus ticket.
Yeah.
Anything from basically New Zealand history that's held there, and there's tens of thousands of items that you can choose from. So
yeah, and it's open to, like, the public, you know, like,
you just
email the Hokken, and then you know, you organise an appointment with them and you can go and see it. And it's just, it's this extensive history of, you know, New Zealand art, and it's just an amazing collection. I mean, there's an online collection that you can look at, but it doesn't do it justice. And so we went in as a class and had a look at all of the work and stuff, and then we saw ones that kind of spoke to us and what we're already doing in our own practice. So, for example, I'm really interested in nature and insects and, you know, environmental stuff like that. And so I was looking more at that stuff, and it's just like a, you just say one thing and it will just pop up with a whole heap of different, you know, things. It's just beautiful, yeah. And from there you create your work. So it's a response to the, yeah.
Cool. Yeah. So format or medium?
We're both in sculpture.
Sure.
So there's 21 of us in second year, and that ranges from every single discipline, from photography to jewellery, textiles, sculpture, painting. So there will be every medium and discipline represented in this exhibition. And we've all chosen a different piece of work to create a response to.
Awesome.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, that's the amazing thing about the art school, is that, like, it's got such a wide variety of disciplines that you can go into. It's not just painting or sculpture, you know, like, it's, you could come up with an idea of something and you talk to your lecturer about it and they're like, yeah, we'll try and get that to work, you know, and it's, everyone's just so inclusive and they try and get your vision into light and help you with that. It's just, yeah, it's an amazing place to be studying it, and I'm, yeah.
Yeah, it's just problem solving, basically, is you go in with an idea and everyone kind of just bands around you to make it happen. It's incredible. But yeah, we've got, I think, is it 10 or 11 of us in sculpture? But sculpture actually encompasses quite a few different mediums that maybe not technically sculpture, like performance art and video works and electronic art.
Things you haven't like sculpted with your fingers, yeah. But are more like installation.
I believe there are two or even three video works in this exhibition, which is really cool.
It is very cool, yeah. And it's just beautiful.
So you're both in sculpture.
Well, yeah. Yes.
What was the inspiration for going into sculpture specifically?
Great question. I don't like being limited by materials. And sculpture, you can make anything out of literally anything.
Sure.
The last piece that I made was actually publicly exhibited and publicly melted.
Very cool. Was it wax?
No, or was it was ice.
Cool.
It was in the ODT.
It was in the ODT. It was in the Octagon, and I publicly melted 40 Maui dolphin because they are being almost literally melted.
Yeah,
but also it was roughly, because we're not 100% sure, the number of Maui dolphin that are actually left
in the wild.
And yeah, so it was quite sad. I think that potentially I made my lecturer cry. I also wrote a poem. It was pretty...
yeah.
It was pretty, like,
but that's the goal, right?
Just that, like,
you've done a good job.
You get in your feelings about something, and then you make art about it to process how you're feeling.
Sure.
And I think that really is what it just comes down to is...
Yeah.
We've all got a lot of ideas and feelings and opinions, and it all kind of comes out in the work that we're producing.
Yeah.
We get to know each other really well through the work that we're making, which is really funny. It's kind of like reading someone's diary.
Yeah. Like, you try, even if you weren't trying to express yourself, you end up expressing yourself through your work one way or another, and like your feelings and emotions come out through it, whether it's just a block of wood on the ground or it's something massive and elaborate, you know. Yeah
it's like, it sounds really silly, but it's weirdly emotional.
Sure.
Yeah, and so you kind of end up like getting all your feelings out at school, which is very strange.
Yeah, well, I did creative writing as one of my papers,
yep.
And you have to do the share sessions where you all come together and you're sort of reading your poems in front of a group of people that you don't know that well at the start, at least. And yeah, by the end of it, you are very close to people that you've only spent like an hour a week with,
yeah.
Because you've expressed yourself around them. Mm. What's the class like? Would you say support, like,
oh,
very
amazing.
Supportive? Very
amazing.
So fun. Like, they're just like your best buds, honestly. Like, you can have a laugh, you can have a cry. Like, it's just it's just like a nice knit, tight group of community and family.
Yeah. And also, people are really interested in what you're making and are so helpful with materials and suggestions. And like, sometimes you'll just come in and someone in your class has said, oh, I found this for you at an op shop in the weekend.
Yeah.
Like, do you want it? Do you want to use it? And you're like,
that's a
so
classic
thoughtful.
Gemma move.
I'm quite good at finding things as bizarre gifts that I think people will like.
That's a great skill.
It is
a fantastic skill to look at something in an op shop and be like, I know exactly who this is for.
Yeah, yeah. We've got a lecturer, Michael Morley, who's amazing, and he does a lot of work with sound, which is always so beautiful and unique. And Gemma found a roll, a player piano sheet,
like in its original box. I was like, I know it's weird. I know this is a bizarre present, but I just know that he will love this so much. And so I brought it in for him, and he was like, so moved.
Yeah.
I was like, you have no way of actually playing this piece of music.
Yeah.
It's just an object that I know that you will like. And then he came in the next day and he brought me a solid iron egg, like a vintage egg, because what I'm working on, which actually leads back into talking about this exhibition, is I'm looking at chickens at the moment. And my
just,
work is
I'm,
revolving
look, I'm
around
looking
chickens.
At chickens.
I'm interested
I'm visually
in specifically, I'm interested in dead chickens. So, so Michael came in with this solid iron egg. He's like, "This is perfect for you." And I was like, "I would never in a million years have thought to go looking for an iron egg."
But now that I've got one.
I don't know how I can live without it.
Yeah.
But that absolutely ties back into the same thing about the collection that you guys took inspiration from, is just random objects can be infused with something, you know, like an energy.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about the work
I was going
to
say,
chosen to make work in response to?
Yeah, so I am responding to a print by Eileen Mayo. If you look her up, she's quite an interesting lady. She's from England originally, but she does a lot of like print work, and she's done a lot of like stamps and stuff for New Zealand birds and stuff. It's really beautiful, and I found some of her prints that were some insects and stuff, and so I'm responding to one of her prints called The Mantis and the Sun, I think it is, or The Mantis and the Moon. I think it's The Mantis and the Sun.
Is it doing the mantis pose to the...
I can show you a picture of it.
Can we describe it?
Yeah, it's called The Mantis and the Sun. And it's basically a beautiful print of a mantis, and she's gotten a whole heap of different textures. So she's gotten some plastic bags that she's printed on it to create these beautiful little ruffle plasticky textures onto it, and some doilies as well to create some frilly patterns. And it's a mantis holding up its wings and holding it to the sun, which is in the background of the thing. It's just, it's really simple, but it's really beautiful, and the detail that's in all the print and stuff of it, it's just really nice. And so I was looking at that and I couldn't stop looking at it, and so I was like, okay, I need to respond to this. And so to me, it looks like the mantis was looking at its armor, like its protection, because a lot of insects have exoskeletons, you know, to protect themselves. And so to me, it looks like it was checking its armor and, you know, or just surrendering it and being like, I don't need it, like I'm strong enough, you know. And so I was looking at that, and then I was thinking about what I wanted to create. And so I ended up wanting to... It's not done yet, and if you come to the exhibition, you'll be able to see it.
And hopefully it'll be done.
And in all of its glory, hopefully. And so it's a massive, probably 2 metre long by 1 metre, maybe.
Yeah, it's taller than you.
It's taller than me, and I'm, I think, 175 centimetres tall. And... it's made out of steel, and that's kind of its cage, and then it's welded together.
Very
so
cool.
It's a massive metalwork sculpture that can stand and balances, and it has a little bounce to it, which is quite fun. It's almost animated, and it's going to be covered in paper, so like a massive paper lantern almost.
Cool.
That cannot float away. And it's, I've been reading a lot about how pesticides and how the environment has changed, and how pesticides have infected that, and like what we can do about it. Very depressing topic, but it's very eye-opening, and you know, stuff that I think is important and stuff that we need to change. So I'm wanting to, through my piece, kind of make people think about what we are doing with the environment, and what we can do to help move forward and help make the environment a better place, and increase the bug population. Because I don't know if you've noticed, but as a kid, like, I'm sure you saw lots of insects, I mean, in the house, all over the place. You'd be like, oh, there's a grasshopper, there's an ant, there's heaps. But now you look and you have to really try and look for them.
Sure.
And it's, you know, so it's trying to bring awareness to the good insects and stuff that's good for the environment and our ecosystems, and bring them back up and stuff. So there's an Instagram, and let me just find it, because, you know, we're on the radio. But he basically gets wildflowers seeds and sprinkles them in urban environments, and takes before and after photos of what they looked like beforehand, which was just dreary, sad, just shriveled concrete and shriveled dirt and dead plants and stuff. And then he comes back and it's like these beautiful wildflowers and this, so many bees and positive insects in the environment.
Yeah, there's some rewilding going on in Hamilton Parks, and it gets me, because I'm always like, that's so much nicer than manicured lawns and grey concrete.
Yeah.
There's some beautiful rewilding happening in Christchurch where in the quake zone, so they can't rebuild. They've just let go back to nature.
Which is really beautiful.
It is wonderful. It's very strange to drive around what used to be a suburb.
Very surreal, yeah.
And now it's a reserve. You're like, oh, interesting. Yeah. This is an option. That's wonderful.
Yeah. The Instagram, if you wanted to check it out, is S Finn Bloom, and it's all lowercase all together, and it's quite cool. He just goes around in a bee costume on a skateboard and sprinkles wildflowers everywhere. he's a cool guy. Yeah.
And this is your third project in a row making insects.
Yes. So. Yeah. Just trying to.
I mean, they are they're extremely fascinating. You know, like if you ever sat and looked at praying mantis, especially because we used to get them in our pantry in one of my flats that I stayed at uni. They'd always end up in our pantry somehow, and you can really square up a praying mantis. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They'll kind of look back at you really obviously, mm-hmm. and they're a terrifying looking insect. But there's something.
If they were bigger,
man. Yeah, exactly. Like there's horror movies that are specifically just like, how scary is a praying mantis? But when you look back at them, there's something regal. You know, there's something noble looking about them. Mm. And then you know that they cut off like their partner's heads after mating, and you're like, wow.
Not every time.
Not every time.
No, not every time.
That's good news. I didn't know that. They've gone up in my estimations again.
You heard it here first.
Don't slander the praying mantis.
No, they do definitely do that, but not every time.
Just when they're feeling like it. If it was poor, if the performance was poor.
Maybe she had a reason.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, good for her.
Fuel for her body, and like the male praying mantis, he still gets, you know.
He does his job.
His passed on and stuff.
Biological purpose.
Yeah. Because even after they're, just like chickens, after their heads decapitated, their bodies still move, which freaks me out, honestly.
That kind of thing happens, and you're kind of like, that's fine. You know, like cockroach loses most of its body, keeps moving. You're like, yeah, I can see it.
Yeah, but a chicken? Like, damn, you should really be lying down at this point.
Yeah, like, please rest.
Stop.
You've had a hard life. It's time to rest now.
So, chickens, praying mantises.
Yes.
Are there any others that like come of your classmates that come to mind as like
rabbits.
Interesting rabbits?
Rabbits.
There's quite a few animals in this exhibition.
Yeah, lots of animals and insects. There's some pigs. There's some birds. There's more insects.
It is a big part of our national identity. It is. So that makes sense.
But yeah, definitely rabbits. You want to discuss the rabbits?
Oh yeah. So there's two.
Tell me about the rabbits.
There's two students in our class that are making works related to rabbits. One is making work about, I guess, killing rabbits. And
not themselves.
No. Well, not directly. They were gifted by a fellow student's farmer father.
Yep.
Some rabbit pelts the other day, which was interesting because they were very fresh and we had to learn how to pin them at school, which is not what I was expecting for a Monday morning, but there's rabbit fur everywhere. That's all right. And then the other student that has I don't want to give it away, but it's a rabbit based work that is very beautiful and you have to see in person.
Sure.
But it's in response to a photograph by Jesse Buckland from the Buckland Family album of hunted rabbits draped over a horse, and it's a stunning, stunning photo. And actually, that whole album is beautiful.
Mm. Yeah, there's just when we were looking in the Hocken, there was just so many pictures of just animals and like dead rabbits, especially like on horses. After like this, I don't know if you know. I don't know if you had family that was like into the hunting on horses. And
I grew up in Geraldine, so there's people around.
I grew up in Geraldine. That's insane. Small world.
Small town.
Yes, very. I've just lost my train of thought.
The animals on horses.
Animals on horses, thank you. Yes, so there was lots of, you know, shooting of rabbits, and they brought them overseas. From overseas for food and stuff because it was just cheaper, and so.
And then let them go and do rabbit things.
They're just
and
everywhere. Then,
I think a lot of Kiwis had so much experience with animals as kids that it's just such a fundamental part of who we are. So, my work, which is in response to some circa 1890s Victorian era plate glass slides of negatives of photographs of chickens on someone's property. And they're just so beautiful and ghostly and Victorian era chickens.
There's something about the chickens that just feels
something
time
about
period-y.
Them. So I'm my work is about ghost chickens, I suppose, but also I'm interested in how we use the death of animals to explain loss to children.
Sure.
So through my childhood we had many pet chickens who did not live very, very long lives on account of our dog who...
And account of being chickens as
on
well.
On account of being chickens.
Not
and
the longest lived.
Yeah, personally we had two ex-battery hens as pets and maybe like 2019, and one of them was already very sick when we got her and she
We had the same thing with my family adopted chickens that were ex...
Yeah.
You know, I think they were ex-battery. And yeah, very sickly, very quickly.
And so the... Yeah, I guess my work is kind of exploring the grief aspect of having pets, but in a way that you get attached to a chicken and it's named and,
sure.
like, you know, all of our chickens had names, and it's different from how they are just kind of slaughtered en masse for food.
Mm.
And when you name something, you become attached to it, and then it's a very different process. And so, yeah, I'm kind of exploring the difference between losing something en masse versus naming it and,
sure.
yeah, how that makes you feel. So there's Victorian-era photos of chickens just, like, piqued my interest and, and like, stabbed me straight in the heart. And I was like, oh, I miss my chickens anyway.
Yeah, well, we were talking before, just when you guys came in, we were playing music, we were talking before about... good art making you feel things one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
What sort of provocations? What sort of emotional responses are you hoping to get?
Any, because the work isn't always about what the artist wants you to feel, but it's how the audience feels. A lot of I've forgotten the word, but a lot of work is about the audience and the reaction of it. No matter what you want to, like, the artist wants to tell through their work, it's not always going to come through as that. You know, the artist is always going to have their own life and their own story and beliefs and stuff that are going to come with them when they view this work. And so it's more about, I guess, the person and how they respond to it. Whether it's, oh, this is stupid, I hate it, or... wow, this is really beautiful, it's made me cry, it's really moving, you know, like, it's just so broad.
Even if you hate it, that's better than
it's
feeling
a response.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Sometimes I look at works and I do not like them. Like, well, actually, that's more interesting than I feel nothing, so that's good. I think both of our works are quite sad, but...
Yeah.
I don't know if everyone's making sad works. I think there's going to be some variety.
There'll be some joy.
Some emotion in the room.
There's going to be some very fun stuff. One of our classmates, Elvin Kumar, she recently had an exhibition that was on in Slant, which is one of the student-run galleries,
sure.
in Dunedin. It's on Stewart Street, I believe. And it was beautiful. It was hilarious and about her culture, and it was just a laugh. Mm. And so she's continuing to do kind of humorous versions of quite a deep,
sure.
sad, depressing topic, and it's really enjoyable, if that makes sense. Like,
it's really strange, because you're like, you get to understand someone's experience and feel like deeply for them, but at the same time
have a laugh
because what they've made is objectively hilarious,
because they're just such a funny person.
Oh yeah. And just, I would say, like, a genius in terms of ideas for work that they're producing. Every time they suggest, oh, I might make blah blah blah, I'm like, are you kidding? And I was like, that's amazing.
It's taken me years to come up with that.
Yeah.
So the School of Art, recommend.
Oh,
10 out of 10 would recommend it to everyone, honestly. Even just night classes, go and have a visit, mm-hmm. have a chat with the people. There's a reason why it's the oldest art school in mm-hmm. New Zealand.
Yeah. and we have like the absolute luxury and privilege of having practicing artists as lecturers, so
with amazing work that they produce. I mean, one of our jewellery lecturers, Octavia Cook, has currently got an exhibition on in the Brick McDowell Gallery, and it's just beautiful jewellery, and from there you kind of look into the jewellery world and you find more artists and stuff, but like that's just one example of one of the artists and one of our lecturers that are practicing artists' work. It's just amazing because we're learning from real life artists that know what they're talking about and have had the experience
and currently living still, as successful artists.
Yeah.
Michelle's work is currently doing a tour of Australia.
Michelle Beavers.
Yeah, Michelle Beavers. She's the head of sculpture, and her work is also very sad and animal based.
She's the head of sculpture.
She's the head of sculpture.
A lot of them are missing their heads. Sorry.
She's got hers, don't worry.
For now.
No, very French of you.
She's wonderful. You're very French. Scott Eadie's work has just wrapped up being exhibited in Central Otago, and David Green's work has just wrapped up being exhibited in RDS opposite the train station. He had a beautiful video installation there, so you're kind of surrounded by people who are living the dream.
As soon as you open the door to the art world, it just like, it's not, you know, overwhelming, but it just like explodes so many different like a root system of different ways to get into like stuff, and it's just so interesting and amazing, and it's honestly a blessing to be in part of the art community. I know that I sound like cheesy saying that, but like I honestly, I've never like been happier in this school of art than I like am now.
You know? Like get introduced to people that you would just not have access to.
Sure.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we met like sorry, I'm like struggling to remember their names. We met.
I'm terrible with names. So yeah.
The exhibition designer for the Tohoto Otago Museum recently.
Oh yes.
Who has my dream job, and I got a chance to talk to him afterwards
and be like, in 10 years, can I have your job?
Yeah, pretty much. When you retire, can you give me a call?
We meet curators. We meet.
We met the curator at the DPAG recently, who was amazing and kind of walked us through how you select works to be in an exhibition and the story that the whole room needs to tell.
And even just like what the writing on the wall that describes your work has got to tell and what you want like it to explain. So that's something that we're learning in this project as well. Because this whole paper that we're doing, the Te Kōrerorio,
I was going to ask what paper it was for.
Is all about us learning how to kind of run a shared space exhibition with, you know, multiple people.
Sure.
And learning about how to, I guess, promote it and write about it, theme it and go from what we're thinking to what we're creating. And this is all in a span of 4 weeks.
Yes, this is a 4 week
which is a very fast turnaround, but because it's so quick, it gets you out of your head and it stops you being like, oh, I don't know
I've
what to
do
make.
Yeah.
Like, you just create something in it, and everyone creates something so beautiful.
You just have to show up and get to work every day.
But that's not hard. I mean, it's such a fun space and just filled with amazing creatives and like-minded people.
It doesn't feel like hard work. No. Even the late nights writing and getting everything ready, it still doesn't feel like hard work.
Yeah. I mean, if you love what you do, then it's
then you never get paid. Yeah.
I was going to ask before when you were talking about like the avenues that it was opening up for you. The common criticism of the School of Arts and, you know, the Faculty of Arts and everything like that is, oh, there's no money in that, you know, what's your job going to be, blah, blah, blah. Has it opened up the idea of making a living off it? You know, like, 100%. Do you believe in making a living off?
For sure. Yeah. But there's also so much value in adjacent roles.
Sure.
So staying in the art world and creating, you know, your own practice and your own career while working, staying in the art world.
Sure.
Because I, this is actually my first year at the Dunedin School of Art. I've been self-taught and mucking around at home, making things
for around,
years.
Creating work.
Creating work. But I've made more work and more progress in the 6 months that I've been at art school than I made in the 3.5 years being quote-unquote self-directed, self-taught prior to that, just because it's such an encouraging environment and you get given complete creative control but also a direction to head in. So sometimes I struggle with, like, open-ended tasks.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, a lot of the time, like, students, they don't always stick in the art world. I mean, they go off and do corporate jobs or whatever.
Sure.
Boring. But they, you know, they've got that experience and they can always come back to that, you know, and they've learnt some stuff about, you know, our culture as a world in the art sector, you know. And for me, I'm wanting to, once I've graduated, become a high school art teacher, and so I'll create my money that way, hopefully. respect our teachers.
Create your money. like print it, teachers. Like counterfeit it.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. So I'll actually become a print teacher, yeah. And teach all the students how to create counterfeit bills. No.
There's a movie in that. There's a good movie in that.
A few documentaries.
But while creating your own work.
Yes, so, yeah. But that's the thing, like, you don't have to straight away from art school become successful, because that's almost impossible. Yeah. Like, everyone's going to start from somewhere and build yourself up. But at the art school, they help you create that foundation and get you inside the community and start networking with people. I mean, the reason we're on this radio is because I went to a potluck with some of my art friends, and Zach, who's the other...
Hoffman.
Zach Hoffman, he was like, I was chatting with him about my degree, and he was like, oh, you want to come on the radio? I was like, ah.
That's Zach all over.
Okay. And then my lecturer, Michelle, she was like, you have to do this.
I do, actually.
I'm like, oh, okay. She's got a point.
But it might be good practice, you know?
Yeah.
I'm sure some of the people that have done exhibitions that are teaching you have done press tours or the like.
Oh, yes, they have.
Yes.
And also about the sort of future job market, a lot of Dunedin School of Art alumni are working at DPAG, private galleries, tattoo artists. There's a weirdly high number of
that makes
alumni
sense. That tracks.
Who are now very successful tattoo artists, which completely makes sense.
Yes, and successful graduates from last year. So last year, they've all, there's a group of them. They've created a open ex gallery called Pond, and it's a community based, they've recently got an exhibition going where it's a fundraising one, and so anyone, artist or not, you know, like, you can enter in some work, A4 size, and it's a fundraiser thing that they're doing right now, but it's just
closes today at 4, which you should absolutely go see.
So I often end up doing that on the show where I'm like, oh, it's actually on today, it finishes today. get along, go quickly.
Well, you've got like 3.5 hours.
Yeah, Pond. Close, look it up. Four. Google it. Yeah. Get along.
But, like, if you've got Instagram, you've just got to search one of the names of the places, and then all the other ones will start to pop up.
Sure.
But this is another student-run thing of beginning artists, graduated beginning artists in the art world, creating work and showing off new artists as well, or old ones, and it's just really beautiful that they're able to. Oh my god, that's my word of the day. Beautiful.
beautiful.
Look, there are worse words to be
true.
Stuck on than beautiful.
That's true. But Tristan from Pond is doing postgrad, so we see him around school, and the others come in as well occasionally. So even when you graduate, you stay within the kind of community, and I think the goal is always to just kind of keep in touch with the people that you studied with. You end up like friends for life, basically, and working together. And even like 30 years down the line, some of our lecturers have had shared spaces with each other and they went to school together. And yeah, it's just very wholesome, actually, is how I would describe it. But I think the other thing is that because we're all making such different work, it doesn't feel like we're kind of competing with each other.
Sure.
It's more of an encouraging, we show up, we say, hey, what are you planning on getting done today? Amazing, can't wait to see what you've made. Show me when you're finished.
Yeah, but we help motivate each other to be like, I think we can do a bit better than that.
Like, yeah.
Instead of just doing, oh, yeah, that'll do. Like, I'll pass, I guess. C's get degrees or whatever. Be like, no, like, you've got the time and you know you can do better. Like, do it. For example, like, my lecturer, Michelle, I was putting wire around my thing and it looked like shit. And I knew that, but I couldn't be bothered. Like, I was just running out of energy.
Yeah. So you're like, I've been welding for 7 days straight.
Yeah.
Can I stop welding now? She's like, no, you have to keep welding.
But, you know, she was honest with me about it, and she was like, actually, like, let's have a look at this together and be like, we know that you can do better, and let's be constructive, and you've got the time, let's do it. And so I spent all of yesterday pretty much making it better, and because I didn't go the C's get degree shortcut, like, I'll get a better grade, and also I feel better about my work that I'm producing and showing it to the public, which, you know, is something that is part of this paper.
Yeah
you have to be able to stand behind your work and say that I am proud of this.
Yes
that's a misconception about arts as a whole, arts education as a whole, is that they're like, yeah, that's well done, good job to everything.
No.
This.
Especially when they're professionals that are teaching you, that have done, they're like,
They have really high expectations, but they should, because that's what we're there to do.
Oh, you want people to have high expectations of you at university, especially, because you're like, please push me.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm not great at doing it myself yet. I'd like someone to do it.
I want to put it out there that this is like, they're not critiquing us and being like, no, this is shit, you should stop. It's more like they'll be like, they'll have a sit down conversation with you and talk about what the moving forward stuff would be and how to improve it during the process in a way that actually makes you feel good about what you're doing, and it's not a put down. Mm. It's just, again, so supportive, everyone, and they all just want you to succeed and have a good time while doing it.
Yeah. Actually constructive.
Yeah,
actually incredibly helpful.
Yeah.
Physically constructive.
Physically constructive.
Sculpture.
Yeah. I would say I've never, because I have studied before and it was a very different experience.
Sure.
I have never been so excited to go to school in my life, which is a really weird thing to say, but I have kids and they're not excited to go to school. And every morning I'm like, come on, guys, get in the car.
Let's go.
And they're like, time to go make a ghost chicken. And they're like, oh, God, what's wrong with you? Why do you like school so much? And I'm like, maybe if you come here one day, you'll understand what I'm talking about.
Yeah, well, you know, you have to be doing something that motivates you, something that stimulates you, and that's in, like, play, work, school, any of those things. It's what you want.
Yeah, there's a lot of overlap, and because we spend time outside of school as well.
We'll go to like exhibitions and stuff together, and then go out for drinks or
pretty much every
gigs.
Friday night is our exhibition opening night somewhere that we're encouraged by our lecturers to go support the local art community and say, when you have an exhibition, you would want these people to come to yours. So you will go to theatre.
Oh, I did theatre for a long time, and that's a big thing in theatre as well. It's like you have to go to other people's shows,
of course,
because that's how they go to your shows. Yeah. That's how you all create a culture where you all go to each other's shows. Yeah. Music, very similar.
Yeah, community doesn't exist unless you create it.
Mm.
You participate in fundraisers, in, you know, the hopes that if you ever did a fundraiser, that would be reciprocated without the expectation. But, you know. You have to put the work in.
Yeah. You've got the community basis started, and, you know, you'll want to support your people, so, you know. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like that's as good a place as any to wrap it up.
Yeah.
Because we've gone over that. It's supportive. It's constructive. It's community. It's, what other buzzwords can we have for the School of Arts and for the exhibition?
Beautiful.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Hard work in a good way.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's how I would describe it.
Yeah.
And let's go over the details of the exhibition again.
Yes.
name, date, time.
5 till 6:30 on Thursday the 7th of August, so this week coming up. At the DSA, Dunedin School of Art, and the
Hinaki O Block, but also in the main building gallery for the first year's exhibition at the same time.
Just basically follow the people. Yeah. If you just rock up to the art school on Riago Street and watch where all the people go, just follow them and you'll find
where you're supposed to go.
I mean, one person will know where they're going, because the follow the people thing when no one knows where they're going is like you're all looking at each other like, we follow on you.
That's
you
when it becomes entertaining for us.
Yeah.
Maybe we need to make some signage. That might be a add to the to-do list.
People will get there.
They'll figure it out.
They'll figure it out, yeah. But thank you so much for having us.
No worries. Really thank you for coming on. Last question, as I've been doing as a consistent question for about 5 interviews, so we can call it an official one, is what is your favourite breakfast food?
If I'm going to be fancy about it, I love a good Eggs Benedict with a good hashy bee on the side. But if I'm in a everyday 9-to-5 classic weekday, I'll have a bit of toast with a cheeky bit of Marmite and a cup of tea.
Classics. Both of those classics. Yeah. Staples, classics.
Yeah.
My answer's so embarrassing because
it can't be.
I'm not really a breakfast person.
We've had some odd ones. We've had spinach on toast.
That's not that weird.
It's not that weird, but it's weird for it to be your favourite.
Yeah.
Well, is it just like plain spinach or is it like blanched?
I don't
like,
really know. What
I need to have a conversation with this person to figure this out.
What is the spinach on toast?
Yeah.
As much as I hate Sanitarium as a company, they do...
They do suck, by the way.
They do suck, yeah.
Very, like, weirdly religious.
Oh, yeah, it's so creepy. But they do make a vegan up and go, so that's kind of... my go-to at
the soy ones or the vegan ones?
Yeah, soy-based. So sorry if you have a soy allergy, but it is dairy-free.
Has anyone asked you what's your breakfast that you have?
No, pleasant of you to ask. I hate you. No, I have eggs on toast, fried eggs on toast.
Nice.
And I lather them with tomato sauce.
Nice.
Which is horrible, but like... No. I eat like a 7-year-old sometimes. It's fine.
I love it.
Do you have an air fryer?
No.
Really?
I should. Like, I'm
the
epitome of the person who should have an air fryer because I don't want to cook and refuse to, and I eat less because I'm like, oh, I'd have to put that in the oven.
Not to be that person, yeah. But you do need
it. Yeah, I should get an air fryer. Yeah. Anyone listening who wants to buy me a present?
Birthday coming up?
The Public Art Gallery, if you want to sponsor me, I'll make art with it somehow. There's a way. There'd be a way to do that.
There's a promo going on at the Polytech where you can win an air fryer.
Really?
Yeah.
Don't tell everyone. They're all listening.
You didn't hear it from
That's
me.
That's for me. All right. Thank you, team. Thank you so much for coming on. Everyone who's listening, get along to the exhibition. Support the... 5 p.m. Thursday, you know where it is. It's at the School of Arts.
You got it.
Go,
you'll find it.
Follow the people.
Yeah. Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, team.
Bye.
Sorry, I totally interrupted you.
No, I thought you were going to say bye too. It's fine. You don't want to say bye to them? That's okay with me. I'm going.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcasts.